Welcome to the Book a Week podcast, jointly hosted by the SEPT University Library and the Center for Research on Architecture and Urbanism.
Welcome to the Book a Week podcast. My name is Shreyank, and I'm in conversation with Pinkish Shah, who has edited the book, Saint Kapadia Architect in Pursuance of Meanings. The book is published by SEPT University Press under the Folio series. And the book encapsulates the career of architect Saint Kapadia over a span of 50 years. It demonstrates the diversity of projects that the office is involved in. And it also showcases the experimental nature, the experimental inclination that Saint Kapadia has maintained throughout his career. What I am discussing with Pinkish in this podcast is primarily about the journey and the reasons of how this book came to be, what was the premise, and why such a book or such a folio or such a portfolio was seen important to be put together, and what was his role as an editor in this process. Pinkish Shah, along with Shilpa Gore, established S plus PS Architects in 1997 in Mumbai. Besides his practice, Pinkish also has a long-standing career in teaching and academics, particularly at the KRVIA in Mumbai, which was established by Saint Kapadia himself in 1994. And it is perhaps fitting that someone like Pinkish, who is familiar with the career trajectory of Saint Kapadia closely, was able to edit a portfolio series on the career of Saint Kapadia. We can speak about the book itself, its structure. So how is it kind of thought about generally? Since you are the editor, you would kind of have certain ideas of how and why the book is structured like that, and what the book is about. So if we can start with that.
So the book is actually structured in four kind of primary parts. The core of it is a new essay which Sen has kind of written. This was done during the pandemic time, actually, and he was kind of reflecting back on his practice and what is it that he was kind of really interested in, looking back all these years, and also I think more keenly about sharing some of this with the younger generation and the students, particularly about what could be ways kind of that they can look at architecture and design about. So the In Pursuance of Meaning, which is the kind of main text or the main essay of the book, is also the title of the book. Is also kind of, has these other two essays, the preface and the introduction, which expand a little bit on the notion of what the main essay talks about. And then, of course, there's my note at the end, which is the editor's note. So that's kind of part one, which is the text that kind of constitute the book. The second is eight projects that Sen selected showcase not necessarily his best work, and not all of them are built works as well. He has never differentiated between the value of a built or an unbuilt project. There are projects which I have come to discover are more like open-ended, kind of loose in the ideas they embody, and potent enough for new generation of architects to actually pick up on those kind of incomplete kind of strands, if you want to take ahead, in maybe newer forms or newer ways. So I think it's very interesting, out of more than like hundreds of projects, to be able to actually zero down on just eight, and like why these eight has been something that's, been on my mind for a long time. But yeah, that's the part two of the book. The third part, which is my favorite part of the book, is this lovely conversation which is there between Sen Kapadia, B.V. Doshi, and Atul Dodia, after a visit that they did to SEN's Gandhinagar campus for NID, the PG campus. So it's quite a freewheeling conversation. Three greats, you know, in their field, and talking about everything under the sun, from, you know, architecture, design, art. And to me, what kind of touched me is the anxieties or doubts that even these greats, you know, so-called greats have about kind of creation and about, you know, starting things and, you know, how things kind of develop and things like that. And also how each of them has a very kind of reflective and spiritual kind of side to them about finding themselves through the work, you know, I mean, like discovering themselves, I mean, as a kind of a lifelong search, you know, through that. So I think it really touched me. I don't know if how the others will take it, but for me, at least, it was my kind of favorite part of the book. It's a long kind of substantial portion of the book, actually. And part four is, you know, it kind of brings a slightly more kind of informal note to the book, where Sen talks about five cities that have been very instrumental in his kind of lifetime and in shaping him particularly. I mean, he talks about Mumbai as a place where, you know, he grew up in a chawl with a very kind of religious orthodox family, and seeing the city transform, you know, I mean, that was kind of the beginnings of Art Deco and modernization at that time. And, you know, getting onto his bicycle and going into the new parts of the city and discovering kind of, you know, this change that had kind of begun. The second one is Nathdwara, which is a place they used to go to as a family. You know, and he talks about mother, they being very deeply religious, and, you know, going on these annual trips, and it being very, very memorable for him. And then as an architect later discovering, you know, the drawings of Nathdwara, where they don't use kind of, you know, perspectival projection, but simultaneous kind of representation of space through plan, section, elevation together, you know, in some sense. Then, of course, Ahmedabad. He particularly talks about kite flying in that essay, and that kind of, you know, setting him free, and how liberating it was, you know, doing it from the rooftops of the old poles. But of course, Ahmedabad is also a place where he spent a substantial, you know, part of his life working on the IIM and, you know, working at NID. So Ahmedabad has been kind of very instrumental for him. He talks, the fourth city he talks about is Pondicherry. I mean, he discovered, I think at the end of his architectural education, roughly in the fourth or fifth year, Sri Aurobindo. And I think since then, he's been kind of, you know, visiting Pondicherry regularly. And besides the spiritual kind of aspect, he also discovers Golconda, you know, done by Nakashima there, and Raymond, Antonin Raymond. And he talks about staying there and, you know, learning deeply from kind of the climatic kind of orientation of the place, and, you know, how that is also influenced him architecturally, you know, besides spiritually. And of course, the final one, the fifth one, being New York, where he and his wife spend a substantial amount of time, and primarily about him becoming this modern kind of man, you know, in some sense. And I think he's also there at a very kind of fertile time in New York, where, you know, there's a lot of activity going on in the change in art. Pop art had just come in, video art, you know, Merce Cunningham and Martha Graham doing contemporary dance, John Cage, who's like a favorite musician of Sen's, you know, and a joint performance they go to. I mean, so a lot of it is happening there, and, you know, he's kind of soaking in all of that stuff and, you know, really building himself up at that kind of really young age. So yeah, I mean, so these five cities become kind of part four. Yeah, so the idea was to have varied formats of writing and to somehow convey varied aspects of Sen, you know, through kind of experience, thought, drawings, all of that.
It's more like an introduction to Sen, one can
Kind
say.
of, yes, absolutely,
Whole book
absolutely.
seems like that
And
in
I think the other thing was it should allow people to dip in and out of the book without having going from front to back, you know, that you could just pick up the book and like go through one city or one project, or then just read one essay and come back to it.
So, like for me, like personally, when we were students, like who are not from Bombay, Sen as a figure was completely, persona non grata. Like, we only knew the, the Trinity, like Charles Peirce,
Right.
Doshi, and then Raj Rewa. And of course, he's a generation slightly, younger than this
Correct.
figure. But his works also were not really necessarily, let's say, part of our learnings. It was only when I came
Correct.
to Bombay, I realized, okay, there's this something called Kamla Raja, and this person who started this thing, and seeing
Right.
was trying to do a lot of things, and then his architecture was also not necessarily the ones that was very commonplace for his generation to kind of produce. So,
Right.
in that regards, I'm assuming that might be a status for many people would be listening to this podcast for the first time in about Sen for the in that.
Right.
So do you want to speak, say something a little bit about Sen as a person and
What you're saying is exactly the way people have also kind of not acknowledged him, I think, fully, you know, I mean,
right.
and I think a lot of us who were in Bombay still knew him, but more kind of as an enigmatic kind of figure, and who's kind of producing this kind of strange kind of work, you know, I mean, compared to at least what we had seen, especially with the masters, you know, I mean, so you're right. I mean, I would put him in the next generation after the masters, and you know what is frequently referred to as the bridge generation, you know, in some sense, which is with Brinda Somaya and Hafiz and all those kind
Right.
of group of people. But whilst the kind of masters, the work was kind of very rational and kind of functionalist in that sense, and driven by a search for identity,
Right.
also this idea of nation building and all of that. I think whilst Sen kind of learned in some sense from all of that, he was really, I think, taking a lot of those things ahead, you know, I mean, or rather wanting to, in some sense, in his own kind of very personal and playful kind of way. I mean, if you look at the plans or the drawings, I mean, nobody was doing drawings like he was. I mean, the idea of representation, the idea of the image of the building, the notion of frugality is kind of there, but in a completely kind of different way, you know, I mean, it's not material centric as much. I mean, he's obviously very influenced by the artists and everybody he's kind of seen in New York. So the idea of abstraction, I mean, it comes from music, from John Cage and everybody, and it's very, very strong, you know. And but at the same time, he's also kind of bringing in strands of who he is and where he comes from, you know. So the idea of Nathdwara and those drawings and that sense of experience, he's looking at his learnings from Goldcorn, and the interest in the climate and the ecological is very, very deep, you know. At the same time, you know, Kenneth Frampton in an essay kind of uses a beautiful phrase, which I think, you know, perfectly encapsulates, what he's about in some sense, which is he kind of manages to merge the abstract with the ecological, you know, I mean, and what one would think are actually kind of opposite ends in some sense, but he manages to kind of bring them together. Just in terms of a little bit of history, so Sen is of course like born and brought up in Bombay. Like I was saying, he went to the JJ School of Architecture. From there, he manages to get to Ahmedabad, and the IIM kind of campus is being built there, and he kind of joins that. Doshi kind of offers him a job. And he eventually ends up working, you know, for 6 years there. 1 year of which he actually goes to Philadelphia and works in Kahn's office on a fellowship that he kind of gets. He comes back and he becomes part of NID. Again, it's just like a new institution coming up. So very exciting times, you know. I mean, and all these kind of very interesting people, you know, I mean, who is kind of meeting, and not only in architecture, but like from all realms of life, you know, whether It's Geera Sarabhai, of course, because of the NID thing, but Dashrath Patel and, you know, a lot of other artists and designers at the same time. And of course, then goes on, he starts a practice in Ahmedabad, very kind of short-lived there, but then finally moves to Bombay and sets up his own practice. Wins a lot of competitions. He always believed, like, you know, competitions is like the way to kind of not only start a practice, but to explore ideas which are kind of very, very kind of important to him. And he gets involved in Madhya Pradesh, which at that time had these IAS officers who were really forward thinking, you know. So builds a lot of stuff there. Also, strangely, gets employed for I think about 5 years as you know, consultant for EPCO there, which is this environmental planning body, which is, you know, looking at the built environment in a kind of broad sense. So it's like an advisor to the government, you know, in some sense about what should happen. And involves a lot of other architects, good architects, to come in and, you know, build in Madhya Pradesh as well. Eventually, I think in 92, if I'm not mistaken, starts Kamala Raheja as an architecture college. Is there for a very short period of just 6 years, you know, but sets up a kind of pedagogic model which was completely non-existent, especially in the Mumbai colleges, you know, at that point of time. It's really interesting that in the short span of 6 years, how things that he started continued to kind of survive, maybe in slightly modified forms, even after 25 years, you know. And I think it's really important for us to think about the kind of clarity and vision he had at that point to know that what are the important things to kind of set off, you know, and then, of course, they take a life of their own. For me personally, that was kind of an incredible, not only a learning, but also like a wake-up call in terms of, you know, how do you focus your energies on what you do with, you know, your time in terms of anything you choose to spend on.
I was actually, the first time I ever came to know about Sen was in a award function that, I think it's called MASA, that organizes in Mumbai, no? For the best teacher award or something like that.
Yeah, he got a lifetime achievement award. Yes.
And he gave this presentation. I think that was also the time he was slightly starting to kind of retire, or he was getting aware of his illness to some sense.
Correct.
And he was very sarcastic about his reflection. And then he would say, like, you know, I started this college where we thought that research is a very important part of education, as if we are the only one who do it. And it's kind of also being sarcastic about himself and his own.
I mean, kind of very, if you get to know him, I mean, he's got a great sense of humor and wit, actually. A lot of things are said tongue in cheek, and you won't even know it kind of hit you till you know, you take 5 seconds to process it till you realize that, you know, you just got this jab. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of the fun of you know, being with Sen and around him. And and of course, I think it creates a certain you know, lightheartedness in conveying things which are actually sometimes deeply serious.
Yeah, so I was just wondering about that whole idea of him being witty, no? Do you think that is somehow kind of, that one aspect is missing in the book? That side of his personality.
Yeah, maybe we've actually contested this a lot. I mean, in fact, there are many things which are very different. In fact, I kind of talk about a little bit in my kind of editor's note as well. A lot of the kind of representative drawings that he did also were like color saturated, you know, and these beautiful small kind of serigraphs that he actually produced, you know, in this kind of deep Jaisalmer. I mean, he had this palette of colors like the Jaisalmer yellow, you know, Krishna blue, there would be Kadapa black, you know, I mean, all of those kinds of things. And there's no color in the book, you know, I mean, and it disturbed me as well while we were kind of looking at it, you know, and as it was kind of slowly coming together.
There's also this idea throughout the book that comes across two, three things. One is, let's say, like you mentioned, his openness to like multiple disciplines. to just absorb and kind of see how it kind of brings out in the work. And then the second aspect is that he is also, I think he gives an example of how Eero Saarinen has been kind of very influential in the attitude that you don't necessarily quote yourself in your projects. Like, for example, you can see a lot of Korea in Korea's work. Sometimes you can see Doshi in Doshi's work.
No, totally. I mean, I think, and he revels in that idea of, you know, starting on a blank slate and kind of trying to reinvent himself. And very rightly, like you mentioned, I mean, Saarinen is his kind of hero, you know. I mean, sometimes against a lot of the others everybody was looking at, you know, I mean, at that point in time as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think for him, every project is what it needs to kind of question and ask and, you know, then kind of search for the kind of answers based on that. That's why he's never seen architecture as a kind of profession, which is like a service profession. Or, I mean, he very much sees it embedded in cultural production, you know, I mean, and just like art is or dance is or music is it. And this is not something he says. He's lived his life like that. Like lightning quick, you know, that is the other thing, which is like, I mean, not only his reaction, but I mean, he talks about even when he's drawing or designing, I mean, he's like very quick on the impulse because he knows exactly kind of, you know, what to do and things like that. So Sen in his original text was far more kind of different, even these texts, okay?
Right, yeah.
So we've had a lot of discussions and arguments about this. Like, he would not let you change a word, okay, in a normal situation. And if there was something grammatically wrong or whatever, he'd say, no, I'm inventing the grammar, you know? I mean, it's like that.
Correct.
But so me and Mitra, who was part of the book, she's like, she was the head of linguistics at SNDT and all that, very close friend of Sen's as well.
Right.
We really fought with him that this is not okay because why are we doing this? We want to make this accessible to as many people as we want, you know, non-architects. If you see yourself, you know, as part of a larger cultural practice, then it is meant to kind of reach out to others and young students, you know. If this is important, we have to kind of, you know, keep what you're saying intact, but change the language, you know what I mean? So it kind of opens up. Yeah, and so Mitra and me have done a kind of lot of efforts to, you know, make that happen in spite of the fact that he may not have completely kind of agreed, but yeah, we've kind of forced his hand in some sense to it. So
true. I mean, it's very hard to think of an architect of his time who, like, without necessarily kind of losing a sense of yet a deep coherence, you know, completely, you know, a client-serving sort of an attitude. Like, if you have to compare, let's say a typical commercial architect would probably kind of end up doing every project differently because, let's say, the demand is
very the demands
different.
Are right.
But here in Sen's work, I think probably somebody mentions that at the end of the day, when you put together whatever this piece of architecture is supposed to be, it has to be joyful. You know,
absolutely.
That attitude is super kind of, and that thread you can see.
Unique and important thing about Sen is this search for the image of the project, you know, and the image is not in terms of what it's going to look like, you know, I mean, which is, and of course his drawings predate renders and, you know, all of that stuff. So it's not about capturing what the building is going to look like, but to me, if I have to kind of, you know, use a term loosely, the spirit of the building, you know, and like, what is he attempting to do in that building, you know, and you see varied forms of kind of representation. Of course, he's being influenced greatly by the West at the same time, you know, and he's written this lovely note when Jim Sterling kind of passed away. You know, a little poem to Sterling. And so he's looking at Sterling's drawings very closely, the kind of inverted axonometrics which are there. And, you know, and whilst the axonometric in the West has been this very rational device, he completely changes the way he kind of uses it, you know, and appropriating the technique, but then, you know, infusing it with color and kind of pattern and, you know, Indian miniature things. I mean, so there's kind of a play that begins to happen, which is, you know, completely unique. I think it was important for him to see in his own mind's eye what is this project about, and what are the kind of fundamental things that will drive the project in the future as well.
So that leads into a very nice idea that he writes in the preface, you know, that he always wants to create new references for the future. Like we've been kind of generally we are so tuned to, let's say, the known, the givens so much that we would, I mean, let's say the best aspiration that most architects also can have is to kind of emulate a master architect and kind of at least reach that level. And then Sen is here saying, at least in the preface, no, very directly saying that, like, how do you kind of turn that interpreted image into something else, into a new reference for like the future, rather than, let's say, continuing what is just given to us in a very interesting manner? So I think that was a very interesting attitude generally that he carried, no? Like,
Yeah, and this is Shreyans coming from somebody who worked very closely with Khan.
yes.
And if you look at a lot of other architects who work with Khan, I mean, you can see maybe a certain kind of continuing of that language or that tradition. Whereas here you see him kind of dropping that influence almost kind of consciously. I mean, the first house he ever does, which is the banker house in Ahmedabad, which is his partner, in Ahmedabad, that is kind of very, very Khanian,
Agreed.
but after that, every project you see, I mean, he's kind of on his kind of own path of discovery, in some sense. It didn't lead to kind of frivolous, kind of exploration.
Yeah, so that's also interesting because, like, in the introduction also, and also in preface and other essays, in the conversation with Doshi and Atul, it comes out that even though he's doing like the conversation in NID, for instance, the sections, the plans are extremely, like broken, they're like shards. Yet at the same time, he's always speaking of this idea of creating a place. And this notion of a place, typically, like, let's say, architects who kind of follow a very phenomenological tradition would speak of softness, that kind of being at home. But here you have, let's say, same kind of architecture, which is completely, off the rhythms, one can say. Yet he's kind of striving to create the sense of place in the work. Like, do you see that contradiction?
Sen is full of these contradictions, actually.
Right.
I mean, you see kind of very kind of opposing, diverse kind of things coexisting in strange ways. Just to kind of go back before I answer that question, is the genesis of the book, I mean, I think as Sen was beginning to kind of retire or beginning to think about closing the practice, the idea of the book had already emerged. Dr. Asha Kapadia really kind of egged him on in a sense to, capture his own thoughts about how he saw what he had done. I mean, as again somebody else commenting, on their interpretation of his work. So she forced him to kind of reflect and, write about his own kind of thoughts.
Correct.
And then in June of 21, yeah, I got a call completely out of the blue. I mean, I get this call that you have to come and meet me, and we want to do something, with the book. I was very kind of keenly interested in getting his work out. Two reasons. One is I have seen, over kind of my childhood to kind of my architectural education and later everything he produced, and in some form or other, I was, I think, very influenced by it. I was also critical about certain things he did, but I was also very kind of influenced. But more importantly, I think that when I was in college teaching and I was referencing his work to younger students, there was absolutely no place for them to find the work. First thing is they had not heard about the work, like you mentioned, even like, you guys had not. But even if you then did introduce them or told them to go look up this project, there was nowhere they could find it. I mean, the website was down of the office, so there was really no place. And I really thought it was important to kind of, bring this to the fore again. I mean, and I say this in also in kind of answering your earlier question about how important is it for practices to kind of, you know, publish, whether it's self-publish or, you know, through other publishers or whatever. I think as this generation is kind of aging, they're closing practices. I think it's very important for our generation, or just for the sake of history in some sense, that at least it be documented, you know, and be there in some kind of holistic form, besides that, you know, one image and like 100 words, which you would say find in a Vistara text. In some sense, it's quite pleasing to see that we're seeing more and more of these monographs coming out. You know, I mean, like there's a Namita Singh monograph which just came out, and similarly, Asha Baste took out this thing on the Baste's work. And so we've been seeing these, you know, coming at regular intervals now. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of valuable, you know, to do. I mean, so, I mean, here in this case, this is not initiated by me. It's like, you know, something I was called upon to do. But the reason I kind of, you know, chose to invest in it is that I think it does have larger value, and we actually need to do, you know, far more of it. And that's why I hope that this is the first on, you know, many other books that say come on Sen, and similarly with others. I mean, there's this fantastic collection of you know, essays that he's written, and I don't know any Indian architect who's been so prolific with writing. You know, it's like a fact file which holds everything he's written on architecture, right from the first essay he wrote when he was in the fourth year of architecture and was published in the college magazine, you know, to kind of this book which has kind of his latest essay, you know, but an incredible amount of thinking on so many aspects of life, you know, in some sense. So I think there is kind of value to that itself. Then there's the projects, you know, which hold their own kind of exploration, which is there. Then there is his kind of thoughts and experiments in pedagogy. So,
yes,
I mean,
yes,
there's so much of stuff which is there, you know, to actually kind of look at and explore.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Do not miss to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast, available on all your favorite podcast apps.